Welcome to Trail Bites for the week of September 30th, 2020. I'm Gavin Jackson. This mini-pod is a companion piece to the South Carolina Lead, and we're doing this to help keep you up to speed on what is happening on the campaign trail in the Palmetto State, and also what South Carolinians like you are thinking. I know it's been a while, folks. We were doing three pods a week there for however many months. I don't know. Time flies. Time is a flat surface. Things were busy, but we are back, and we have November 3rd in our sights. Now, previously, Trail Bites were about the Democratic presidential primary. Now we are shifting to focus primarily on the Senate and congressional races in our state. And we may even throw in a few state house races as well. Well, folks, today's episode is dedicated to debate coverage. Yes, the big, big, messy debate this week that everyone is talking about, the first congressional district debate between incumbent Democratic Congressman Joe Cunningham and Republican challenger State Representative Nancy Mace. Whoa, what debate were you guys thinking about? Oh, no, we're not. No, we're not talking about
that. Will you shut up, man?
Hey, give me my 2 minutes, Jamie. I just need 2 minutes right now. Joining me to discuss the hour-long debate is Jamie Lovegrove with the Post and Courier, who co-moderated it with me from Beaufort, and Caitlin Bird, political reporter with the state newspaper, who was one of the reporters covering it. Welcome to you both. Thanks for making time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Gavin.
This is great. It's been so long since we've had one of these, and I appreciate you guys making time for this. Jamie, I want to start with you. We put together a slate of questions for that debate, starting with climate change, offshore drilling, inter-race relations, COVID-19 response, healthcare, even debt, and the future of Paris Island. I think folks had to listen pretty closely, maybe even rewatch that debate to actually remember anything that the candidates said, any concrete issues that they support, and when it came to actual policies. What was it like out there in that studio with me and those candidates? Yeah. I mean, what were we hearing? Were we even getting to the meat of some of these issues?
Yeah, well, you know, I think on a few of these issues, we did get some answers. And you know, obviously, Gavin, when we were framing the questions, we were thinking about what we wanted to ask. We really wanted to focus on a lot of the most important issues in the district. You know, I think this debate was well directed for this district. It might not be the same questions we would ask in a national debate or in a debate in any other district. But, you know, of course, this is a district that has seen a lot of impacts of climate change already. It's a district where there have been debates for years about offshore drilling, and that has come up again and again. You know, so those are some of the reasons why we want to talk about issues like that. And you know, then there are of course issues that are affecting the entire country, like this coronavirus pandemic, like healthcare and the economy. And like, of course, the national debt, which was a huge priority, of course, of Congressman Cunningham's predecessor, Mark Sanford. So, you know, they certainly did come into that debate prepared with their own issues that they wanted to talk about, some issues that were not necessarily related to the questions that we were asking them. Yeah. And it did get feisty. It did get pretty personal. You know, of course, Congressman Cunningham really tried to take Representative Mace to task for skipping votes in the General Assembly, where she is currently a lawmaker. She responded that she is a single working mom and took offense to the idea that he was framing that as him disparaging that. And so, you know, that kind of sort of personal sort of grievances became a lot more of the focus of the debate. But we did get some clarification on their position on a number of issues.
Mm-hmm. And Caitlin, watching the debate, and just I know debates are just there. It's an onslaught of information coming at you there. And, we had it structured pretty well. But again, looking at that, I mean, what was it like to hear those responses on the fly? What were you hearing? Was it difficult to kind of drill down and get some of the actual meat of these questions, or was it just a lot of the attacks that really kind of stuck more?
Well, a lot of the attacks really landed pretty hard. And if you missed one attack the first time, you heard it at least four or five times throughout the rest of the debate. Yeah. So in case you missed it in the first question, you had time to catch it on the fifth, sixth, or seventh. It was surprising that watching from afar to see both of the candidates in attack mode, which is something that political scientist Gibbs Knotts also noticed. I touched base with him after the debate to get some analysis from him. And he agreed that it was interesting to see that. And part of that, as we know, is that usually you would expect the challenger, not necessarily the incumbent, but the person who's the challenger, the person who may be perceived to be behind in the race or seeing their numbers a little lower in the polling in the contest, to be the one that's in attack mode because they need to make up that ground. Instead, what we got on Monday night was both of them in attack mode. And we all know that this is one of the top congressional races, not only in South Carolina, but in the country. But it was very interesting to see them both going after each other hard. And Jamie pointed it out very well. One of the biggest attack lines of the night was, you know, when Nancy Mace pointed out repeatedly that she thought it was shameful that Joe Cunningham would attack her for missing votes as a single working mother who's homeschooling her kids, who even noted that she missed one day of voting because she had COVID-19, which both of them had. Both Cunningham and Mace have had the coronavirus and survived, even though they had very different symptoms and different experiences with them. It was interesting that Cunningham did not mention that he too is a working father. I was a little bit surprised by that.
Do you think
that
there's any reason why? Do you think it was like a maybe some sort of trap? I mean, we've been talking about this with other people too. Do you think that he just didn't want to get into it because she might have had some attack lines ready to go? Or what do you think the logic was behind maybe not going into about how he's a working father?
Well, it is a tough dynamic when you have a man and a woman on a stage and you have a female candidate who does perceive a slight or a statement to be an attack on her abilities or her status as a working mother. It is different to be a working mother and a working father. I think that just noting how Joe Cunningham just really wasn't taking the bait on that, it seems like he just didn't even want to give more credence to it. It seemed like he was letting Nancy speak for herself on that and decided not to try and compare and contrast, which may be smart. We'll see if it actually comes up in the second debate later in October. But that was my thinking. But I still kept waiting for him to mention Boone in response to that. He did mention Boone, but it was more in the context of noting how they experienced the Lowcountry when you guys asked a question about climate change. And he talked about taking Boone to Sullivan's Island to walk on the beach with their dog, Teddy. So that was a little different. The other thing that came up repeatedly watching from afar was an almost nonstop mention of Nancy Pelosi. So I would say, you know, Nancy's line was about the single working mom, and Joe's line of the night was telling Nancy Mace that if she wants to run against Nancy Pelosi, then she should buy a plane ticket and go to California. But as long as he's the first congressional district's congressman, that she should run against him. So those really stood out.
Yeah. And Jamie, kind of going along that line, talking about Pelosi, we heard her mentioned by both of them in both of their opening statements. You know, Joe started off saying, you're going to hear a lot about Pelosi tonight, and him saying that his first vote was against her. And then Nancy Mace saying that, you know, he votes with her 90% of the time. I think that was in her opening and her last remarks, even though we didn't have closing statements, she mentioned that. So I'm wondering, you know, then throughout the night, the rest of the night, you heard Cunningham talking about how bipartisan he is, how he works with the Problem Solvers Caucus, how he's like the fourth most bipartisan person in Congress. Do you think that that's going to resonate when you're, you know, do you think what's going to come out of this? Is it going to be people think that he's a Nancy Pelosi Democrat or that he's actually working across the aisle and even getting bills passed that go to the president's desk for signature?
That will really be in the eyes of the beholder. I think that, you know, they both did get those points across and there is some legitimacy to both of them, right? So Congressman Cunningham is absolutely right. He did not vote for Pelosi for Speaker. Nancy Mace is also right that the person he did vote for, Sherry Bustos, a congresswoman from Illinois, did vote for Pelosi. So, you know, and of course, Pelosi became Speaker anyway. And, you know, she is now the leader of the House Democrats, of which Joe Cunningham is one. You know, he is absolutely right that he did. He has sponsored two bills that became law that were signed by President Trump, which is notable. It's far more than a typical freshman member of Congress. And it is a notable achievement. You know, it is also true that on the type of, you know, there is a ton of legislation that the House votes on all the time. You know, we only hear about a tiny fraction of it because only a small fraction of it sort of rises to the level of being a big news story. So we hear about those bills, but there's all kinds of other legislation moving all the time. And as a result, yeah, it's true. You know, 90% of the time or something close to it, you know, Congressman Cunningham votes the way that Pelosi would want him to. But there are also some of those major headline bills that he has split with the party on. He split with the party on a pro-unionization bill earlier this year. He split with the party on the minimum wage. And he did try to really flex some of those bipartisan muscles during this debate. You know, he also noted that he is sort of against the enhanced unemployment benefits right now being higher than what people were making at their jobs, which is a line that we've heard from Senator Graham. You know, he did try to portray that image. As he predicted in his opening statement, Nancy Mace spent her time trying to tie him to Nancy Pelosi. You know, it's a tactic we've seen before, both in this district and in races all over the country. You know, I've watched a couple of other congressional races just over the last few days, congressional race debates just over the last few days, and the exact same dynamic is happening. You've got the Republican challengers trying to tie Nancy Pelosi to these Democratic incumbents. And, you know, it was tried in 2018. Obviously, it didn't really work. So the question is going to be whether it is more effective this time around.
Right. And the dynamics are totally different because this isn't a midterm race anymore. This is a presidential.
Right.
So I think that dynamic is something that we have to keep in mind, because that top of the ticket is a lot bigger now when President Trump is at the top.
And then, Kaylin, you know, offshore drilling, we opened with climate change. We opened with offshore drilling because that is just so pertinent to that first congressional district, which, you know, has so much coastline, Hilton Head up to Charleston. But one of the big things we asked about was, you know, do you believe in the science behind climate change? And also, you know, what do you expect to see at the federal level to kind of, you know, concrete some of these changes we've heard happening, whether it's at the state level or, you know, the president's moratorium on drilling? What were some of the big takeaways that you heard? And I'm thinking that that climate change was probably the biggest thing that people wanted to hear about in offshore drilling. What takeaways did you hear from that discussion that stood out?
Well, it was definitely a contrast issue, which was always interesting to see in a debate. Mace, while she noted that there is some nuance to understanding why we're seeing such increased flooding in the region, like noting that the peninsula is actually sinking, she did also say that scientists once said the earth was flat and it's not. So she seemed to be a little bit more skeptical about climate science as a whole. And Cunningham seized on that attack and said that he would say what his opponent would not. And it shouldn't be hard to say, is what he said, that he believes in science. Basically those were that was a huge, huge attack line that we've already seen being replayed over and over again on social media as digital ads are starting to be produced off of these special moments that happened during the debate that y'all so graciously moderated. Honestly, it's a tough job. That was a huge, huge issue of the night. Mace tried to hit back, saying that Cunningham had voted for about $200 billion in Green New Deal initiatives. She, again, trying to nationalize the race, called it socialism at its best. And then Joe Cunningham had argued back, you know, that, hey, like, if I wasn't seen as more moderate and more reasonable on this issue, then why would the U.S. Chamber of Commerce endorse me? Nancy hit back and said it was just a deal that was cut with Nancy Pelosi and her 29 most vulnerable Democrats. So that's how quickly things spin out of one issue.
They did. Yes, they did.
Because they did. And watching it from afar, you know, people are always like, oh my gosh, it must be so much fun to cover these debates. I can tell you it is fun to watch debates. Covering debates and synthesizing what happened in an hour is very challenging.
Oh, it's so hard. I think it's the hardest thing in political coverage is trying to boil down these hour-long debates into just a short, you know, a short story. It's very difficult. But I do think, I will just add on to Kaylin, yeah. I do think the climate change debate was probably one of the most memorable takeaways. It was from the very beginning of the debate. But in terms of the policy discussion, you know, going into this race, it wasn't like Nancy Mace had an extensive background of comments like these. Congressman Cunningham's campaign was not gearing up to run a campaign saying my opponent is a climate change denier, which is how they are framing it. But they, you know, she has made these comments sort of over the last couple of months. They have really seized on them. You know, one note later in the debate, which was not during the climate change question, but the he brought up climate change again later. And she said, you know, can we talk about other issues? The climate change, you know, there are other more important issues than climate change is what I think she said.
Yeah.
Do not be surprised if we see that line also getting used in some Joe Cunningham ads over this last month of the race.
And then Jamie, I mean, along that line, you know, we saw, you know, in the midterm race in 2018 with Katie Arrington, who's a Republican, really, you know, she, the big reason that she got, you know, dinged so hard was because she was so finicky and so squishy on the whole offshore drilling discussion. So is that what's kind of going on here? Are we seeing a little bit of, you know, 2018 and some of these responses?
Yeah. You know, the offshore drilling thing is interesting because, you know, it's much more about approach than it is about what their views are on offshore drilling itself. As we noted in our question, we know they are both opposed to offshore drilling. The difference between them, right, is that Congressman Cunningham has moved a bill at the federal level to federally ban offshore drilling. Nancy Mace has said it should be left to states, although she has praised President Trump for his moratorium, which is at the federal level. So it's a little bit of some questions there, I think, still to be answered. But yeah, you know, because of the fact that they have different positions about how to fix it, even though they have the same position about whether it is a positive or a negative impact for the coast, it has yet again become a huge part of these ads. It has become another source of friction, and I imagine it will only continue to be for this last month of the race.
And I would just piggyback off of that because we should point out that once – you know, when we had Republicans running for the chance to be the nominee to run against Joe Cunningham, this was the one thing that every single Republican wanted to point out as soon as they announced that they were opening. I'm Nancy Mace. I'm a Republican running in the first congressional district race, and I oppose offshore drilling. I'm Kathy Landing. I'm a Republican wanting to run against Joe Cunningham in the first district, and I'm against offshore drilling. This was something that Republicans were wanting to neutralize as soon as possible in the context and in the whole breadth of this race, from the moment that they were running against each other. And now that Nancy is actually running against Joe, it's really interesting that the offshore drilling issue still has some sticking power, but it seems to have kind of almost springboarded now into these broader conversations about climate change. And that's something that we didn't see as much of in 2018, even though Katie as well, Katie Arrington, was also a little reluctant to come out and say that she believed in climate change. I think she may have talked about ice caps at one point during their only debate of that contest. And it's just very interesting to see how this is something that is continuing to stick around. But at the same time, it is not a rinse and repeat of 18. This is not being used as a wedge issue as it was the last time about whether or not someone can be trusted. Now it's becoming a values question about, do you believe that what we see with our own eyes firsthand in the first district is a result of climate change, or do you not? And that's a little bit of a nuance that we haven't really unpacked as much. But maybe we'll see more of that because now climate change is much more of a national issue, even though it's also intrinsically quite local in the Lowcountry.
Yeah, and then we've been talking for more than 15 minutes, so I probably need to wrap it up a little bit. But, you know, kind of talk about wrapping up. You know, the last question we asked them was what their top priority would be for the district. Again, we weren't going to have any closing statements, so I think Joe kind of answered the question more like the question it was. And then Nancy might have kind of, I think she kind of went into her speech there because Cunningham said, you know, he didn't really answer it directly, but he said there's a lot of issues for facing the district, but the top priority is that we need to get through this pandemic and have to work together. Nancy Mace said, you know, she went right into her speech about how Joe was working with Nancy Pelosi, voting 90% of the time. So it was interesting to hear that, especially as like the last outro, because then we heard some bombs at the end there as well. But I just don't think we heard a lot of clarity about a lot of things too, including, you know, race relations. That's such a big thing going on right now, a huge year with everything going on. And we just didn't get to the meat of a lot of things. We had to press them a lot of times on what they would specifically do for police reforms, you know, if they believe that Black Lives Matter, a lot of things like that. And it seems like we're going to really have to hear from more from them in these coming debates about, you know, their specific topics, because all we heard about really was people missing votes or people voting with Nancy Pelosi. So, Kaylin, just kind of your thoughts on just how it wrapped up and some more takeaways.
Yeah, I think you guys left a lot of really strong cliffhangers after this debate. I think that both candidates, once they can square off with each other again in October, are going to be very eager to rehash or recast or re-narrate what happened here. I also think that they're both actually quite formidable on the debate stage against each other. Their styles are different, but both have, I don't know. I think that they did a really, really good job, both of them, in trying to make their pitch. I am curious whether or not they're going to stop arguing with each other and start making pitches to the voters.
Right. So something Caitlin said at the beginning that I think took both Nancy Mace and us a little bit by surprise was that Cunningham did come out firing a little bit. The sense, I think, in both campaigns, and certainly, you know, we've seen the Cook Political Report and other election forecasters move this race from toss up to lean Democratic. You know, the sense is that Cunningham is slightly ahead right now, and he's the incumbent. And generally, when you're slightly ahead and you're the incumbent, you kind of want to focus on yourself. You want to stay, focused on the policy questions. And it's when you're the challenger or when you're behind that you try to draw someone into, you know, more direct confrontations. The congressman is still, I think, in sort of a lot of he never quite left the mindset that he was in as a challenger in 2018. He's the scrappy underdog, is how he kind of views himself. And so he wanted to come in there and challenge her. I think she was caught off guard by that a little bit. And I think he was caught off guard by her talking about the single working mother thing. And so he was not quite prepared to sort of adapt and respond to that.
And the Paris Island topic too.
Yeah. She did not forecast some of her attack lines or foreshadow some of her attack lines. So he did not necessarily see all of them coming. You know, I think both of our newspapers wrote about the Paris Island situation yesterday. It's a long story, but basically he did vote for the NDAA, as did almost every member of our delegation, which is the defense budget. In the defense budget, there's this little piece about how Paris Island, San Diego, the two Marine training bases, are supposed to become compatible with gender neutral regulations over the next few years. And there's some risk that could lead to Paris Island closing. It's a very complicated issue, but you know, the fact that she went at him for that, again, sort of caught him off by surprise a little bit. And then, of course, we, you know, can't neglect to mention that it ended on quite an acrimonious note, because Congressman Cunningham linked her to the website Fitz News, which she used to be involved with. He called it a gossip and bikini website that has, been involved in salacious rumors. She didn't have a chance to respond to that because it was the last word of the debate.
But Jamie, to that end though, back, like, if she didn't attack him in her last statement, he would not have been able to rebut that and bring that up.
Because that's true.
He spoke first, and then she went, and then she mentioned him, and then grenade.
I don't think there was any question in the entire debate in which they did not attack each other, right? There was not a single question in which they focused entirely on themselves. So that every single question they were allowed to rebut. It became a point where the rebuttal was basically perfunctory. I mean, it was, of course, they were going to take it.
But she had the chance to have that last word, and
she
it
did.
Kind of went out the window.
She did. He got it. My sense afterwards was he did not necessarily plan for that to be the last word of the debate, but it worked out that way. And, maybe that will be where they pick up next time on their next debate. It certainly seems at this point like, they do not like each other very much. And I imagine that this last month of the race is going to be it's going to be pretty aggressive.
Yeah, we have to leave it there, and we'll definitely be watching that play out on the airwaves, and then of course in the future debates, and online as well. Everything that's going on with this campaign—it's so different these days with the pandemic going on, but it's still happening, folks. And I know you know. So thank you again to Jamie Lovegrove with the Post and Courier, and Kaitlin Bird with the State Newspaper.
Thanks, Gavin.
Thank you.
really great catching up with those guys. It's been a while, so it's great. I'm sure you guys enjoyed it too. And I want to make you aware of some debates coming your way. All right, so this weekend, looking forward, we'll be watching the first U.S. Senate debate between incumbent Republican Senator Lindsey Graham and Democratic challenger Jamie Harrison. That debate is this Saturday at 8 p.m. Now, this debate is hosted by Gray Television and the state newspaper. You can watch it on several television stations across the state, including WIS Columbia, WMBF Myrtle Beach Florence, Live 5 Charleston, WTOC Savannah, News 12 and WAGT 26 Augusta Aiken, and WBTV Charlotte. That's a lot more work than just saying SCETV, you know? One statewide beautiful network, so beautiful. Also, you can catch the next South Carolina 1st Congressional District debate on October 6th. And that's at 7 p.m., hosted by NBC4 News. And that will be broadcast on their social media channels. So check those out, too. You'll be hearing a lot more about what we heard from that 1st Congressional District debate there. Again, that's on their social media channels, not statewide. Can't win them all, folks. You can also follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest news. And also check out scetv.org for news as well, and South Carolina Public Radio. You can also rewatch that debate, our first congressional district debate, on youtube.com/SouthCarolinaETV. And just a reminder, Campaign Trail Bites is not biased toward any candidate or campaign. We're just out here covering these candidates as we can. We're out there trying to get as much information for you so you can make your own decision in 2020. You may even already be voting. So listen up, get informed, and get out and vote. And we'll bring you a mini pod every time there's campaign trail activity in the state. We're planning to have these every week for you guys as we get closer to November 3rd. And let us know your thoughts on Twitter at @SCLeadPod, and follow us with the same handle on Instagram for photos from the campaign trail, memes, and all the great stuff we put out there. Also, give us a voicemail, 803-563-7169. Don't make it overly partisan. I don't want to like get into some weird situations here with where we can't put the message up, or don't campaign for someone or directly like that. Just let us know your thoughts, guys. Keep it PG, keep it, you know, in the middle of the road if you can. Give us your analysis, you know, tell us those things. We're interested to hear about the issues facing you, what you're looking for in these candidates, and who you think is doing the best job in these races. 803-563-7169. We are open, all ears. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and up to 3 minutes of your thoughts. Campaign Trail Bites is a production of the South Carolina Lead. I'm Gavin Jackson.